Hello. Welcome to Park Street. Very, very grateful to be back here preaching. I've been leading Sunday schools and having just a marvelous time with those folks as we were going through the book of 1 Corinthians, but I'm really grateful and honored to be back here. We are in ordinary time. If you have forgotten that we kind of try to follow the church calendar and not necessarily following the lectionary, but following the season that we find ourselves in. And so it reminds us and kind of places us within the story of Christ coming to earth, living a perfect sinless life, dying a sacrificial death, raising by the power of the Holy Spirit on the third day, and commissioning and empowering his followers to go into all the world and make disciples in Jesus' name. And so we find ourselves in this ordinary time in which we are kind of living into the season as a church community of proclaiming the goodness of Jesus and making his glory and his message in the gospel known. I want to say once more thanks again to those who preached over the last 6 weeks. Thanks to Cam for finishing up the book of Titus, and then to Sadie, Donby, Tony, Dr. Dan, and Tyler for doing just an amazing job in the Lord's Prayer. Very, very grateful to sit under their teaching, and I feel like we are so incredibly blessed as a faith community to have so many gifted preachers and communicators, and most importantly, men and women who really love the Lord and demonstrate it in their lives. This is the last week in the Lord's Prayer sermon series. Next week, we will start an 11-week sermon series on the book of Jeremiah. This is on purpose. I want to read the book in the Bible in which Jerusalem falls to ruin during this election cycle. That's true. That's part of the reason. Because guess what? Even if the nation you live in falls apart around you, you are still called to faithfulness and hope. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Okay. That felt right. I'm getting right back into it, I guess. Okay. So I'm very much looking forward to going through that with you. Okay, so my only critique, small little critique, of those who preached in my absence, there seemed to be a precipitous decrease in overly complicated charts. I aim to rectify that immediately. And while I'm thinking of it, it's very easy to save sermon slides. Sometimes I see folks taking pictures of the slides. I want to let you know that we kind of provide those slides for you. So if you go to our website, parkstreetbrethren.org/sermons, you click on the sermon you want. Underneath of the audio, there's a button that says sermon slides, and you can download them. And so this is, accomplishes two things. Number one, you can just view these beautiful slides in the moment and just bask in their glory, okay? You don't have to worry about capturing the moment. And then later, you can print them out in HD. You can hang them all around your house. Put them in the rooms that you exist the most in, like living room, kitchen, bathroom. I don't know where you spend the most of your time. Based on how many pregnancies in the church, maybe the bedroom. I don't know. Anyways, it's good to be back. That's the point. I got that out of my system. Now let's turn to the book of Matthew. So the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to be talking about the very last portion of the Lord's Prayer today, but I want to situate it in Matthew, in specifically Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through chapter 7, verse 6. Because Jesus is doing something really, really profound here, and the Lord's Prayer really ties a lot of his teaching together in one really succinct and portable way for you to take with you. So Matthew 6:1, if you have your Bible, it might be helpful for you to be able to look at these verses as we go through. Matthew 6:1 says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward for your Father in heaven." And this, Jesus is kind of setting up all through chapter 6 and all through chapter 7. He's setting up contrasts. He's setting up dynamic opposites that he wants us to learn from. And so In this particular section, Matthew 6, all the way through verse 6 of chapter 7, there are six sections that kind of fall under this heading of not performing your righteousness in front of others in order to be seen by them. Those sections are sections about giving, about praying, about fasting, and then about saving, worrying, and judging. And we feel really confident that we can say these are all distinct sections that Jesus intended and not just something that an editor later put like a heading over and said these are the sections, because Jesus repeats these phrases over and over and over again. He says, don't do this, but do this. Don't do this, but do this. He does that. He repeats that six times for different sections. And the first three sections are contrasted or connected to the next three sections. And so he's kind of drawing these differences. Basically, you could be a person who gives, or you could be a person who saves a lot and trusts in earthly treasures. You could be a person who prays, or you could be a person who worries all the time. You could be a person who fasts and works on your own righteousness and purity, or you could be a person that spends a lot of your energy judging other people and trying to hold them to a standard. So these things are connected. And in the first three sections, there's this repeating phrase connected to verse 1, which is Jesus at the end says, of each of these sections, he says, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. So we go back up to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. And Jesus is warning us, don't practice your righteousness in front of others. People who do that have already received their reward. And then he gives us three examples right in a row of what that would look like. So in regards to giving, don't give by announcing it with trumpets. And then Jesus says, I tell you the truth, those who do that have already received their reward in full. Don't draw attention to yourself through your act of giving to the needy. And then when it comes to prayer, Jesus says, don't stand on the street corners and offer these complicated, kind of long prayers that are meant to draw attention to yourself. If you do that, I tell you the truth, you've already received your reward in full. And then when it comes to fasting, Jesus says, when you're fasting, don't look miserable. Don't like disfigure yourself so everyone's like, oh, what's the matter? Oh, just my fast, you know. You're drawing attention to yourself, you know. I fast. I'm a very spiritual guy. I want to keep going with that. I got a small bit of laughter and it was like cracked to me. So sometimes I'll fast for 24, 48 minutes at a time. If you do that, you've already received your reward in full, okay? So Jesus, don't do that. And then he gives us the opposite instruction. But if you do this, your heavenly Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So again, contrasting these ideas. When you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, right? We're giving in secret. Nobody needs to know about it. But your heavenly Father knows. And he's going to reward you for that obedience. When you pray, go into your closet and shut the door. You don't have to draw attention to yourself. But your heavenly Father will see it, and he will reward you. When you're fasting, so already we have to point out that Jesus assumes that you're fasting in your life as a part of your own spiritual renewal, as a part of Jesus working on you and refining you. When you fast, he says, not if you fast, when you fast, wash your face. Put oil on your hair. Like, don't draw attention to yourself, and people might ask, hey, what's going on? But instead, just live normally, fast quietly, secretly, but your Father in heaven, he will see what's done in secret, and he'll reward you. When it comes to praying, then, Jesus not only provides the posture, which is what he's done here, but he's also provided the content. And so right there at the end of the second section is the Lord's Prayer. Obviously, I'm going to return to this, but I want to kind of finish out this portion. Jesus, in all of these, he's giving us instructions on our posture. But when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, he gives us the content of the prayer as well. And the big thing that Jesus front loads the Lord's Prayer with are these two things. The first is, your Father knows what you need. And the second is, this is how you should pray. So we'll return to that in a second. I want to go to those final three sections that connect with those first three sections. And in this section, Jesus is describing people who are wealthy, anxious, and judgmental. Probably not you, but someone sitting very close to you. Right? Wealthy, anxious, judgmental. And Jesus once again follows this pattern of saying, don't do this, but do this instead. So don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, right, where rust and moth can destroy and thieves can come in and steal. But do this, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves cannot come in and steal. Don't worry about your life. Don't let your life be marked by anxiety of the future. What you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to do. But instead, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then, this was tricky because it's in the next chapter. I had kind of already made all these slides with five sections, but the first part of chapter 7 is absolutely a continuation because Jesus says, and don't judge others, or you'll be judged. Instead, he gives this analogy of a plank and a speck and removing the plank from your own eye before trying to attempt to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So all of these then are connected, right? There are people who trust in the wealth and the riches of the world, and then there are people who are generous. There are people who are full of anxiety and full of worry, and then there are people who instead choose to pray. There are people who are very judgmental, who look at others and are constantly finding fault, and then there are people who instead work on their own righteousness and they fast and they ask the Lord to purify them. So there's kind of, Jesus is pulling this apart. There's kind of two kinds of people. But just because you're a kind of person who is generous and prayerful and participates in fasting still doesn't mean you're doing so with a humble heart. So when you do those things, those are the right things to do. But when you do those things, you have to do it for an audience of one, right? You have to do it before the Lord and not to draw attention to yourself. Because if you do, guess what? You've already received your reward. So all of that, I think, is integral in really appreciating the Lord's Prayer. Because those same three themes of generosity, the theme of forgiveness or forgiving others, and the sense of trusting the Lord and working on your own self, those are absolutely huge parts of the Lord's Prayer. Okay, so today our line is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So if you've got your Bible, can you read me, just read me the end of Matthew 6:13. Who's got it? Matthew 6:13. Just read that verse. Perfect. Anyone have anything else?
And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one.
But rescue us from the evil one. Perfect. Anybody else? Anybody read from the King James Version? Obviously not. That's okay, I don't either. But if you did, at the end of Matthew 6:13 in the King James Version is, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, the reason that other translations don't include that in the King James Version does is the King James Version is using the Latin Vulgate as its source of inspiration for its interpretation. And a lot of the more modern translations, they go back to the original Greek and the Hebrew. And they believe, perhaps, that this was an addition later, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's a part of the Lord's Prayer. It's biblical. You ought not worry. You're not adding, putting words in Jesus' mouth. This is absolutely perhaps something that he said in his teaching. But modern translations, they don't include it. So I'm going to be reading from the King James Version this morning because that's the version that has my bit in it. You understand? After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven. That's the voice in my head. When I read King James, we don't have to. Okay. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I want to give you a very simple summary of the Lord's Prayer. Very simple. The Lord's Prayer is exactly this. An invocation, which is a prayer of welcoming God into your midst. Four petitions. Prayers of petitions are prayers in which we ask God for something. And then a benediction. And a benediction is simply a prayer that kind of closes a time of prayer. So that's the Lord's Prayer. An invocation, four petitions, and a benediction. So this first invocation, that's what Sadie preached on when she came and blessed us, is simply, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're recognizing that God is other, he is holy, he is perfect in heaven, and he exists for all eternity. Then the first prayer of petition is a prayer of consummation. Donby did an amazing job of kind of explaining this. But basically, it's simply our prayer. It's probably the first and most important prayer in the petitions because it's the prayer for God's kingdom, this perfect, holy, sinless reality that exists in heaven to invade earth in some substantial and eternal way. We're asking for God's will to be manifest here like it is there. And that's kind of always our prayer. That should be our principal goal in every gathering that we have, in every worship service we hold, in every small group that we start, in every Bible. The goal is not for us to memorize ancient texts. The goal is for us to encounter a living God and for somehow, through the power of the Holy Spirit, his kingdom to become manifest as we seek his will and submit our lives to his leadership. This is always the goal of Christianity, for God's kingdom to come somehow through broken, flawed vessels such as us and to change the world to more reflect the kingdom of God. If you haven't been told, right now we're in a season where we're asking you to participate in discernment for this. We are preparing as a church to kind of go intentionally into a season of prayer and conversation about what God might be leading us into next. We're experiencing a lot of growth, especially among young families. We feel the Lord's presence. We feel the Lord's Spirit in this. And we want to know what's next. And so we have found in our experience as a family together that the best thing to do and the first thing to do is to seek God's face and say, what would you have of us, Lord? And so we kind of have this process called the visioning process that we're going to be participating in. And I just want to tell you three quick things about it. The first, before we get to the three, an addendum thing is you're invited to participate. If you've attended Park Street for 40 years or if this is your first Sunday, we actually would love for you to participate. We're trying to hear from God, and we feel like the more people that participate, the more hearts that are open and receptive as we seek his will together, the clearer we can hear his voice. Three quick parameters. We're trying to solve a problem. This isn't necessarily a time to think about new initiatives, even though that might be fun. We're trying to figure out what God would have us do with this growth that we're experiencing, so it's a specific thing that we're gathering to pray for. We are discerning God's will. We're not just brainstorming or crowdsourcing ideas. We're trying to hear from God. So this isn't like a dream session where we just throw a bunch of spaghetti at the wall and we feel like, hey, what happened? But this is a time of actually us getting quiet and trying to let the Holy Spirit reveal his heart to us. And the last thing we're doing is we're keeping it at a really high level. So we're dreaming about a general direction we're going. We're not trying to find step-by-step instructions. That whole process is a process of us trying to discern, Lord, how can we help be vessels of your kingdom coming from heaven to earth? I want to let you know, to sign up for that, if you're interested in participating, the deadline to sign up is tomorrow, okay? We've put this out on a couple channels, but I wanted you all to hear from me that I would very much love for you to participate if you feel the Lord leading you to that. Praying God's will to come down. The next prayer of petition is a prayer of provision. Dr. Tony Basham did a wonderful job of asking God to just to simply meet us every day, sense of need. And these final three prayers, by the way, will recognize the contrast that we experienced in Matthew 6 through 7. So instead of being the kind of people who store up for ourselves treasures on earth, we want to be instead the kind of people that store up for ourselves treasures in heaven and trust that every day the Lord's going to provide the things that we need. The next prayer is a prayer of absolution. Lord, forgive us. Instead of being the kind of people who judge others, we're going to be the kind of people who are asking the Lord to reveal if there's any offensive way in us through fasting, through quieting our hearts, through reflecting, and through offering forgiveness as freely as we've received forgiveness. And then finally, a prayer of petition that is one of protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Instead of being a people who are constantly worried about our lives and anxious about what tomorrow will bring, we're trusting that the Lord, who looks at the grasses of the field and colors them with more beautiful dress than Solomon had and takes care of the birds of the air, if he loves those things that much, how much more will he provide for his children? Jesus says this explicitly later in Matthew chapter 7. You fathers know how to give your sons good gifts. How much more so does your heavenly Father give to those who need him? And then finally, the benediction, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So an invocation for petitions, for prayers that are absolutely connected with this overall message that Jesus is telling in Matthew 6 and 7, and then a benediction. God is holy, totally other, perfect in every way, the Holy One who dwells in heaven for eternity. His very name is holy. And our very first and foremost prayer is always this: let your kingdom of light and life come invade this weary world. Help us to avoid the very real temptation of claiming to be people who know and follow Jesus, whose lives are nonetheless marked by self-serving wealth, anxiety, and judgment. Instead, may we be people who reflect, who manifest the kingdom by quietly, humbly living lives of great generosity, deep prayer, and extraordinary forgiveness. That's the invitation that the Lord's Prayer offers us. And the conclusion is the recognition that the whole world, the whole universe, all of space and time and eternity are the Lord's forever. And the best thing about the Lord's Prayer, in my opinion, is how radically different it will be when God finally answers that first petition. When I think about what will we pray, what will the Lord's Prayer look like in heaven when God finally says yes to our prayer, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what will that prayer then look like? And I didn't feel good about crossing out things in the Bible, so I just highlighted the things that's left, right? So here it is. Our Father, holy is your name. We emit the who art in heaven bit because we know that God will be with us And there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will be somehow united and found in him, gathered up in him for eternity. So he's no longer a father who's far off. He's a father who's with us always now. Our Father, your name is holy. And then there's no more petitions. There's no more prayers of asking for protection or absolution or for it, because God has answered all of them. He has come. He has manifest. So all that's left is God. You're holy. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's all. So when we get a glimpse into the heavenly realms in Isaiah chapter 6 and we see the angels circling the throne and it seems like they're just saying the same thing over and over again, that is a prequel to your eternity. So I hope you memorize the script. Like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. We get another picture in Revelation chapter 4. The same prayer, the same thing. And the reason why that is when God finally comes in glory and wipes every tear from every eye and establishes his throne on truth and justice and power and love forever, we won't have any more petitions to make. All we will have is praises to offer the one who is making everything new. It is a beautiful picture of hope. And it's a reality that all who are in Christ will experience one day. Perfect that we are receiving from the Lord's table this morning. Because communion and your invitation from the Lord to participate in it is exactly this, a foretaste of God's coming kingdom. And at the communion table, we recognize that we have been people who have stored up wealth for ourselves, who have been anxious about many things, and who have been very critical and judgmental of others, even though we don't have any authority to be so. And despite all of that, this table is open to you, and you are welcome to come and receive it. And at this table, we recognize that every need we have in Christ is provided for. And every sin we have committed has been forgiven. And everything that we need to go into the world to be protected from the evil one is provided for us in full because Christ is with us in the meal and also as we leave in Jesus' name. We get to enter in for a moment into the Lord's Prayer, recognizing that this meal, again, it's a prequel, it's a foretaste, but it's a radical yes to every prayer we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Because when we receive this meal, there's almost a sense of his kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. There is a sense of him giving us this day our daily bread and forgiving us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us and leading us not into temptation but delivering us from evil. All of that is in a bundle and received when we receive from the Lord's table. So on the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." We're going to close our time of worship this morning by inviting you, after a time of prayerful reflection, to stand up, go to the middle aisle, come forward, and receive from the table of the Lord. We receive communion through intinction, which means we just take a piece of bread and we dip it in juice and we receive it. We also have portable for you if you'd rather take it at your seat. There is a station in the balcony as well. And I just want you this morning, as we are invited into the table of the Lord, I want you to pray that somehow God could bless our imagination in some degree And when we receive of these elements, that we would get a sense of a foretaste of this kingdom in which his glory and his goodness and his righteousness reign forever. I hope you get a sense this morning of stepping into that even for a moment as we gather around remembering the gift that we have in Christ Jesus. I'm going to pray over the elements and then we'll begin a time of receiving. Lord, we thank you that every need, every dream, every hope, every wish that we have in this world for love and for peace and for justice, that they're all yes. Your answer is yes to all of them through Christ Jesus. And so we pray you bless these elements as we come to receive them. May they transform somehow, miraculously, into a small but powerful window into a future for the children of God. A future in which we won't even have needs for you to respond to, because you will be with us and you will be our all in all. We're so grateful for these moments when we get a glimpse of your glory to help lead us through the weary and burdensome life that we sometimes are called to bear. Thank you, Lord, that you have made a way for us. Bless these elements and this faith community as we receive them. We pray in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Let's sing the doxology as we close together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, receive this benediction this morning. We bless you in the strong and holy and eternal name of God the Father. To be people who do not live your righteousness in front of others in order to get attention, but rather who quietly and humbly serve the Lord. And in doing so, bring his kingdom down to earth. May you go and do so, knowing that your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen and amen. Go in peace, church. Love you.